Hello and welcome to the Master of Demon Gorge podcast. Today we're talking about the Bamboo Annals. Today I want to take a break from our ongoing series on the Five Dynasties and Ten Kingdoms. A little while ago, I read on social media about the Herculaneum Papyri. Many of you may have heard about it too. It's a library of scrolls that were flash-fried by the eruption of Mount Vesuvius in 79 AD, as one of the project's leaders described it. And now, with the help of modern technology, scholars are starting to be able to read them. Well, that's very cool. But did you know that the Chinese have been digging up old texts and deciphering them since the time of the Roman Empire? I want to talk about a major text rediscovered, quote-unquote, in the 3rd century AD, when China was already old enough for such rediscovery. And the text also highlights a fact often lost when history is told in simplistic textbook versions or as government pronouncements. History is never simple. There are always different points of view. And it's always subject to debate and revision. You wouldn't think so if you only read government statements from Beijing on Chinese history, but Chinese scholars have long been aware of it. They've been aware of it at least since the 3rd century, when the Bamboo Annals was discovered and upended the traditional narrative. Like I said, China was already old enough by then for people to discover things already considered ancient by that time. It was already old enough for archaeology, or more accurately, for grave robbing. So in 281 AD, shortly after the end of the Three Kingdoms era and during the Western Qing Dynasty, one tomb raider went, tomb raiding. His name, yes, we even know his name, was Bu Zhun, or pronounced Fo Zhun in the pronunciation of the time. Somewhere in what is now the province of Henan, he chanced upon a royal tomb. The tomb, in fact, belonged to King Xiang of the Kingdom of Wei from the Warring States era, who died in 296 BC. The tomb raider broke in. He was, of course, chiefly after jewels and gold and such things. And maybe he found some of those. But more important to today's story, he found hundreds, maybe thousands, of bamboo slips, the stuff the Chinese used to write on before they invented paper. One version of the story says he used a good portion of the bamboo slips as firewood. Whether that's true or not, he took whatever gold or gemstones he could find and left the bamboo slips behind. And then someone found the open tomb and alerted the authorities. The Qing Dynasty's officials rushed to the scene and gathered up the bamboo slips that remained. A report of the discovery went all the way up to Emperor Wu Di of Qing. And it had the emperor's attention. He immediately ordered two senior officials to form a task force to put the bamboo slips in order, to study them, and to transcribe them. The bamboo slips turned out to form a number of lost texts. These texts had been lost because Qin Shi Huang, the first emperor, had ordered a mass book burning in 213 BC. For the most part, only the books that were buried in tombs or otherwise hidden escaped the destruction. One of these previously lost texts we've talked about before, the biography of King Mu. But the text we want to focus on today was a history book written in the form Warring States era history books took, which was to narrate events year by year. As it was found in the tomb of a king of the Kingdom of Wei, it was apparently the Wei's official history. There was no title, or the title was not preserved. So the text came to be known simply as Zhu Shu Jinian, or the Bamboo Annals. And the substance of the text shocked the two scholar officials charged with studying it. But before we get to why the text was shocking, let's talk about what happened to the Bamboo Annals later. Like I was saying, Chinese history is long enough, and this kind of archaeological discoveries started happening early enough that the history book itself has a long history. The Western Qing Dynasty, under which the Bamboo Annals was discovered, didn't last long. The rebellion of the Eight Princes, starting 10 years after the discovery, in 291 AD, undermined the power of the Western Qing. Starting in 304, the so-called Five Barbarian Races poured into China, establishing their own kingdoms and fighting against the Western Qing. In 316, the Qing's capital, the city of Chang'an, fell, and the Western Qing dynasty officially ended. True, the Qing dynasty was then reconstituted and continued in southern China through what came to be called the Eastern Qing dynasty. But the chaos and dislocation of the early 4th century must not be underestimated. Emperor Hui Di of Qin, who died in 307, had ordered the scholar officials to further study and to verify the text of the Bamboo Annals. But in the chaos that followed, the official charged with it was killed. A friend of his finished the job and published his edited version of the Bamboo Annals. But then, in the chaos of war, the original text was apparently lost. Fast forward to the Tang Dynasty, established in 618. Historians drafting a history of the previous Sui Dynasty, established in 581, cataloged books that were available during the Sui era. They mentioned the Bamboo Annals in their catalog. It might have been the edited version produced in the early 4th century, or it might have been a further modified edition. But then further wars and chaos engulfed China in the later Tang Dynasty, and then during the Five Dynasties and Ten Kingdoms period in the 10th century, and more books were lost during this time. Moreover, during the Song Dynasty that followed, Song Dynasty, established in 960 AD, scholars increasingly lost interest in the Bamboo Annals. The reason for this was that the Bamboo Annals contradicted the orthodox Confucian account of Chinese history, and the Song Dynasty saw the rise of Neo-Confucianism. But we'll get to this when we talk about the text's contents. So it was that Song Dynasty library catalogs no longer included the Bamboo Annals, deeming it an evil text, unworthy of inclusion. And at some point during these centuries, the Bamboo Annals, as discovered in the 3rd century and edited in the 4th, was lost. Then at some point during the Ming Dynasty, 1368 to 1644, the Bamboo Annals reappeared. copies printed on woodblocks began to circulate, and it came to be called 京本竹书纪年, today's version of the Bamboo Annals. An obvious question arose. Did someone rediscover, yet again, the Qing Dynasty version and republish it, or was this a forgery? Did this new version bear any relationship to the old text dug up in 281? By the Qing Dynasty, begun in 1644, scholars again grew very interested in the Bamboo Annals. Several major scholars, through their combined efforts, demonstrated that the so-called today's version of the Bamboo Annals was a forgery, written by a 16th century scholar official named Fan Qing. So it would seem that the original Bamboo Annals, or the version compiled during the Qing Dynasty, was now lost forever. But wait, not so fast. Scholars from the Qing Dynasty down to Republican times then painstakingly went through all extant Chinese books from before the Song Dynasty to cull all the references to and quotations from the Bamboo Annals. Before the Song Dynasty, because that was when the original Bamboo Annals was still available, so we can expect the quotations to be accurate. They pulled together these passages to produce another version of the Bamboo Annals. This version, to be distinguished from the Ming Dynasty forgery, is now called the Ancient Version of the Bamboo Annals. And fragmented though it is, it's still considered an important source for ancient Chinese history. Okay, now let's get to its contents. Why were they so shocking to the first Western Qing Dynasty editors who looked at them? Why did the Song Dynasty Neo-Confucians hate the book so much? The Bamboo Annals, like the Han Dynasty text, The Historical Records by Sima Qian, also tells Chinese history starting from China's mythic founder, the Yellow Emperor. Then it goes through the same list of ancient kings, in particular the semi-mythical kings Yao, Shun, and Yu. The Historical Records tells us the orthodox account passed down to Sima Qian's time of how the kingship passed among them. Each of these kings, we're told, was noble and wise. When the first of them, King Yao, started to get old, he saw that his own biological son, Dan Zhu, was insufficiently moral or competent. And so he chose a different successor, Shun, and abdicated and passed the throne to him. Years later, King Shun did the same thing, ignored his own son and chose Yu as his successor and abdicated in his favor. It all sounds terribly high-minded, and subsequent Confucians held up these ancient kings as exemplary rulers. But the Bamboo Annals tells a completely different story, a story far more cynical, but more realistic. It says that after King Yao served as king for some years, Shun wanted to usurp the throne. So he defamed Yao's son, Dan Zhu, in front of his father. Believing Shun's lies, King Yao sent his son, Dan Zhu, away to administer a distant province. Then Shun overthrew King Yao in a coup and then imprisoned him. When Dan Zhu tried to see his father, the new king, King Shun, wouldn't let him. Other extant texts actually lend support to this much darker version of events, giving lie to the ancient myth of noble abdications. In Xunzi, the 3rd century BC philosophical text named after the philosopher considered Confucian, in one text, in one passage, it states, 夫曰尧舜禅让,是虚言也,是前者之传,漏者之说也. So when people say that Yao willingly abdicated in favor of Shun, it is fiction, a tale spread by the shallow and the foolish. Han Feizi, the legalist philosophical tract from the same period, says in one passage, Shun forced out Yao, and Yu forced out Shun. Later, King Tang exiled King Jie, and King Wu attacked King Zhou. These four were all former servants of kings who murdered their lords to replace them, and the whole world honored them for it. One 20th century historian has suggested that the orthodox accounts about ancient kings politely giving up their seats for each other was a myth invented during the Warring States era. The Warring States era was a time of chaos and casual cruelty, of constant warfare and geopolitical competition. Precisely because of that, intellectuals of that time dreamed of a utopian past. So they came up with this beautiful fiction of the noble ancients and held it out as an object of emulation. The Bamboo Annals, again like the historical records, goes on to tell the history of the Shang Dynasty from about 1600 to 1046 BC. And in another episode, the two differ greatly. According to the historical records, after the founder of the Shang Dynasty, King Tang, died, three of his sons ruled in succession, but each died before long. Then, a man named Yi Ying put King Tang's grandson, Tai Jia, on the throne. Yi Ying was a former slave who had managed to climb up the social ranks through his own ambition and abilities. So you can imagine that he must have been a formidable character. And Yi Ying now served as chancellor. But Tai Jia then turned out to be a terrible king. He was tyrannical and ignored all the laws. So in the 3rd year of the reign of King Tai Jia, Yi Ying forced him into exile at a secondary palace and took power as chancellor regent. After King Tai Jia lived in exile for 3 years and learned his lesson, Yi Ying welcomed him back to the capital and put him back on the throne. Thereafter, Tai Jia was a good king. This is all according to the historical records of Sima Qian. The Bamboo Annals, again, tells a much darker story. It claims that Yi Ying, the ambitious former slave, engaged in a coup against his king, Tai Jia, forcing him out and taking the throne for himself. After 7 years in the wilderness, Tai Jia returned with an army to exact his revenge, restored himself to the throne, and killed Yi Ying. Again, the Bamboo Annals version of events is much more cynical, but seems, at least to us modern minds, much more realistic, much more plausible. But that doesn't mean the Bamboo Annals version of events is necessarily more credible. Oracle bones dating to much later in the Shang Dynasty show that the Shang priests continued to refer to Yi Ying with great respect, even centuries after his death. Indeed, the Shang rulers continued to perform rituals to Yiying, as though he were a king in their ancestral worship. If it were true that Yiying had engaged in a coup d'etat, ultimately lost, and was killed, we would expect subsequent Shang Dynasty records to depict him in a negative light. We might even expect King Taijia to order some form of damnatio memoriae. We wouldn't expect Yiying to be worshipped as an honored ancestor, even by the end of the Shang Dynasty. So maybe, in this case, the nobler version of events in historic records is actually closer to the truth. There is, of course, something dispiriting learning about all these controversies. There was an objective truth, what really happened all those thousands of years ago. But by now, it is unknowable. We see the same phenomenon today. You can be a noble and capable statesman, but someone will call you an evil and power-hungry tyrant. Or you can be an evil, power-hungry tyrant looking to destroy your country's constitutional order. But a large section of society will call you a noble and capable statesman, even a messiah. Thousands of years from now, no one will be sure which version of events is correct. The idea that truth wins out in the long run is itself a lovely piece of fiction. In the long run, there's no way to tell what's true and what's false. But setting that aside, the point I wanted to make today is that history is subject to debate and revision. Don't let the government fool you by presenting a single narrative as the incontrovertible truth. Certainly today's government in Beijing likes to say that such and such a thing has been the case since ancient times. But what's really been true since ancient times, certainly in Chinese tradition, is that historians and intellectuals have debated each other and presented alternative versions of events and drastically different interpretations of those events. Remember, the Bamboo Annals was discovered back in the 3rd century. On that note, this has been MODG. Thank you for listening.